ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. संडे नवंबर 19, 1882. It was the auspicious occasion of the Jagadhatri Puja, the festival of the Divine Mother. Sri Ramakrishna was invited to Surendra's house in Calcutta. Surendra, as we all know, was a beloved householder devotee of Sri Ramakrishna, and he served Sri Ramakrishna. And after the passing away of Sri Ramakrishna, Surendra had supported the first and second monasteries to a very great extent. It's all because of Surendra that we owe the entire Ramakrishna Sangha today. So this is what we need to understand. So Sri Ramakrishna was invited, and naturally Sri Ramakrishna will be very happy to go there. This is one of the methods by which Sri Ramakrishna wanted to propagate his message. Balaram Basu's house was the very first, and then Suresh Mittar, that is the second house. But before going to Suresh's house, Sri Ramakrishna first went to the house of Manomohan, who is also very close devotee of Ramakrishna. The master was seated in Manomohan's parlor. Then he issued a beautiful saying. Sri Ramakrishna said, God very much relishes the bhakti of the poor and the lowly, just as the cow relishes fodder mixed with oil cake. What does Sri Ramakrishna really mean by the poor and lowly? As you have been, I'm sure, reading the WhatsApp messages from the Imitation of Christ, the lowly and the poor does not refer to the social status of people, low caste people. Of course, nowadays, the low caste, they are trying to get to extract extra privileges by claiming that we belong to the lowest class. Ramakrishna was not referring to the caste system. He whose egotism is very low, whose ahankara and mamakara are very low, that is what Sri Ramakrishna means. Poor means external possessions are just a few, maybe just needed or even less than that. But his egotism, totally dependent upon God. And then Sri Ramakrishna, master of similes like Kalidasa, is telling, and this is a very common phenomena. Anybody who owns these animals, they know it. So while giving fodder, if there is oil cake, oil is liked by everybody. Not only by human beings, anything that is fried in oil, or if people are very wealthy in ghee, clarified butter, somehow we all like it, even though it may not be very good for health. So oil cake will be not only rich, but also sweet and tasty. Naturally, even animals also like food that is more tasty. And then Sri Ramakrishna immediately gives a beautiful example. King Duryodhana showed Krishna the splendor of his wealth and riches, but Krishna accepted the hospitality of the poor Vidura. God is fond of his devotees. He runs after the devotee as the cow after the calf. Now I have to tell you something, even though I mentioned any number of times, we can repeat it. I was almost for 5 years in one of our centers, northeastern. It is called Cherrapunji, presently located in Meghalaya state. And we have a dairy where plenty of animals, cows were there. And I read in a quotation from the Veda that God runs after his devotees like a cow who has given newly birth to a calf. I read about it, and Sri Ramakrishna is probably giving that reference here, the cow runs after the calf. When? Just after birth, the calf is helpless and it just emits a lowly sound. Had I not witnessed it, I would not have really understood Sri Ramakrishna's utterance to the extent that I understand now. One day morning around 9 o'clock, I entered into the cow shed, and previous day one of the cows had given birth to a calf, and cows are very lovely, very affectionate, very lovable. So it was Indian custom, as you know, we just let the calf suck the milk only for a few seconds. It won't fill its stomach, and then the milkman goes on milking. And then afterwards, the cows are let out for grazing. Cherrapunji is full of hills. So all the cows have gone. So when I entered, this poor calf, it was mowing, calling for its mother in its own language. Ma, I am hungry. And that brings also a reminiscence of in the life of Sri Ramakrishna. At that time, Rakhal Maharaj, in future, Swami Brahmanandaji, he was called Rakhal. Sri Ramakrishna was looking upon him as his own son. We cannot imagine a 14-year-old young man sitting in the lap and suckling Sri Ramakrishna's breast as if he was suckling mother's breast. But people have seen, these are the divine leelas we have to understand. So, say one day, this Rakhal was very hungry. He frankly told, I am very hungry. And Sri Ramakrishna anxiously, like a mother, went to the Ganga. And then he called out, Gauri, my child Rakhal is very hungry. And then somehow, this lady was doing something at home. She felt it, such a tremendous pull, that immediately, by that time she also learned, whenever I visit Ramakrishna, I have to carry something, some eatable. So quickly she prepared, or she had, I don't know, and then ran to the Ganges, jumped into a boat, and then reached. Sri Ramakrishna was awaiting with great anxiety. As soon as he saw, he cried out, Gaurdasi, did you bring something? She said, yes. And then he shouted, Rakhal, come and eat. Rakhal Maharaj was abashed. Do you need to advertise my hunger to the whole world? He was annoyed. See the leela. If Sri Ramakrishna gets annoyed, then there is some meaning. But if a devotee gets annoyed at God, it is unthinkable. But Rakhal Maharaj was not looking upon Sri Ramakrishna as God. He is my own mother. And a child has unrestrained demands over his mother. So he is shouting, why are you going on advertising my hunger? Sri Ramakrishna was very innocent. He said, what is wrong with it? You said you are hungry. I called Gaurdasi. She brought food. Come and eat. That's what you want to do. Such is the child nature of Sri Ramakrishna. So you see, in this case, Sri Ramakrishna must have heard about the Mahabharata incidents. Krishna was sent as a messenger of peace, and Duryodhana schemed that he wanted to put him into his own net by bribing. One way of bribing is giving money, etc. Another way of bribing by showing immense honor. Duryodhana, being a prince, he came with all his royal retinue and fell at the feet of Krishna, welcoming him. We have arranged an elaborate reception for you. The best dishes will be served to you. Dancing girls will be dancing. I know very well how you enjoy dancing with those poor village girls. But I am providing you with the most sophisticated city girls. Anything will not be wanting. But whom is he going to fool? Himself. Because Sri Krishna knows Duryodhana from bottom to the top, or top to the bottom, all the time. not only in this life, janma janma antara. In fact, Sri Krishna declares, we have to understand it clearly, that I am Ishvara. I dwell in the hearts of every being, not only human being, whether it is a tiger, whether it is a mosquito, whether it is President Trump or Prime Minister Modi or North Korean President. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtate brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. We should never forget that God knows everything, past, present, future, everything. He is the creator, he is the planner, he determined what particular event should take place at what time. And if you are still not remembering, in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna was unable to recognize Krishna's universal form, we can never recognize the universality of God. For that, we have to completely eliminate the egoism. So Arjuna asked, who are you? And he says, Kaloham, I am Kala, time. And in time, creation, sustenance, and destruction, srishti, sthiti, laya, everything takes place. This is what we need to understand clearly, that this world is not run by any one of us. It is run only by God's will. And for that, God had created certain presiding deities. And whether it is physical body, for example, the presiding deity of each one of our hands is Indra. The presiding deity of our eye is the Surya, Surya Bhagavan. That is how we are able to see. The presiding deity of our mind is the moon, Chandra Deva. There is no part, no atom in our body which is not controlled by God. He created, he presides over, he decides what to do. He is playing the game. Only mischievously, he created this feeling that God has nothing to do with me. I am the owner of this body-mind complex. I do whatever I like. In the end, we understand that nothing is in our hands. So, we have to learn a great lesson. Krishna knew everything. Who is playing? Duryodhana. And did Duryodhana recognize him? Absolutely. Not at that time, when his thighs were broken by Bhimasena. Again, Krishna assisted Bhima, because for nearly 12 years, his Pandavas were in Vanavasa. And then, what was Duryodhana doing? He knew, as soon as these people returned, there is going to be unavoidable war. And in that war, Bhima had promised, I will break your thighs and I will drink the blood of Dushyasana. So, Duryodhana knew that's going to happen, but let me pray. So, he prepared what is called a gada of very heavy weight, and he was practicing jumping up and down. And when these Pandavas found out this Duryodhana was hiding in a lake, they insulted him, called him out. And Duryodhana's egotism is very sensitive. He could not tolerate. Immediately he came out of the lake. And there Mahabharata tells that he knows jalastambhana, means what? He knows how to create a beautiful oxygen space, even though he is deep at the bottom of the lake, and he can survive as long as he wants. This is a special type of skill, which is called jalastambhana. Stambhana means you just stop the water from entering me. Anyway, he could not tolerate the insult. He came out, and this Bhimasena could not do anything, because this man was practicing for nearly 13 years, jumping up and down, and Bhimasena was getting tired. At that time, Sri Krishna himself, he had shown him by some sign that when he next time he jumps, then you break his thighs. And that had happened. This is just a background I am enjoying. I hope you are also enjoying. So Duryodhana was lying down. And it seems somebody went later on. And then Duryodhana was asked, "Oh prince, you are a very wise person. You are not a foolish person. You knew very well, if I did this, inevitable result will be all the Kauravas will be destroyed. There is no doubt about it. So, why did you not stop this so that you could have lived? They also could have lived. In fact, you could have been invincible because both you and Pandavas could have been like USA and Iran can become friendly, or USA and China, if they become friends, they become almost invincible. And if Russia joins them, these three countries, the most powerful countries in the world, then no country can withstand them." But this is a tremendous play. Then somebody asked, "Why did you not think about it?" Not that he did not know. Duryodhana himself confesses, "Janami dharmam nachame pravruttihi." I know what is the thing to be done. I know what should not be done. I know what is right, what is not right. He says, "But there is somebody sitting in my heart and he is not allowing me to do what I want to do." That's what exactly Bhagavan Krishna was telling. Yantra rudhani mayaya Ishvaraha sarva bhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan. Is playing this puppet game with everybody. Why are we recollecting these incidents? Have anything to do? Yes, that is what Sri Ramakrishna wants to convey. Very soon he is going to convey this idea that everything is God's will, and by his very sankalpa will, he is creating, he is maintaining, he is sustaining, everything is happening by his will. None of us have not even 100th part to say anything, to deny anything, to stop anything, or to start anything. Clearly we have to understand, yathechasi tatha kuru. So whatever you want to do, O Lord, you do. This is called Sharanagati Bhava. This is what Sri Ramakrishna was replying. After all, who was Sri Ramakrishna? He who was Krishna, he who was Rama. He himself clearly remembers how he misled Duryodhana by taunting him. So Krishna accepted the hospitality of the poor Vidura. And Sri Ramakrishna continues, God is fond of his devotees. He runs after the devotees as the cow after the calf. So when I was in Cherrapunji, one day I entered into the cow shed and this calf was mourning. And then to my astonishment, I saw the mother cow with lifted up tail, mourning. It is running towards the cow shed, came there, and then started suckling the calf. Of course, if any servants were there, they would not have allowed it. But I was just watching, enjoying the whole play. Then I remembered that Vedic saying that God is fond of his devotees, like he always wants to feed, to nuzzle to his children. God cannot live without devotees. True devotees cannot, of course, live without God. So he runs after the devotees as the cow runs after the calf. Then the master sang, he burst into song. The teaching of Sri Ramakrishna runs through songs, through teachings, through analogies, through similes, so many things. This is the song. "And for that love, the mighty yogis practice yoga from age to age." That means it is not easy to get this devotion, bhakti. They want to have that bhakti. What type of bhakti? The bhakti of the gopis of Vrindavana. There is a beautiful episode. Again, Sri Ramakrishna counts. Uddhava, the closest friend of Bhagavan Krishna. There are so many parallels in the Bhagavatam to the life of Sri Ramakrishna. We can say it is a mini play of Sri Krishna, again manifesting in the form of Sri Ramakrishna. So, this Uddhava was the closest, not only friend, he is the greatest devotees. That is why the last message of Sri Krishna is called last message of Krishna to Uddhava. It is called Uddhava Gita. There are famous three Gitas are there. We know Bhagavad Gita. We also know about Anugita. After the war is over, what happened? We also know this Uddhava Gita, which forms the majority portion of the 11th Skandha of the Bhagavatam. And one who gets this love for God. So yogis, they want to enjoy that love. They don't want to be jnanis. What I mean is, a jnani, a true jnani, is a true bhakta. But the people who go on saying, not this, not this, they will not enjoy pure ananda as devotion gives the ananda. This is what Sri Ramakrishna is referring. For that love, the mighty yogis, not ordinary kuchka gopis, mighty yogis practice yoga from age to age. Means what? They don't care how many yogas are passing away. But we want one drop of that love drowns the whole world in turns, transforms the whole world into an ocean of amrita. When love awakes, the Lord, like a magnet, draws to him the soul. Probably it would be better to say, when that love awakes, the Lord or the devotee draws the Lord to him like a magnet. Sri Ramakrishna himself says, sometimes God is the magnet, devotee is the needle. But the reverse also, he says, is true. Sometimes the devotee becomes a magnet and God cannot stay away from him. So wherever Prahlada was there, we are also going to get that story soon. Then Sri Ramakrishna is telling this one. So let us recollect what happened. Duryodhana came to receive Krishna with all that magnificent royal welcome. And anybody would have been completely mesmerized. I am honored so much. After all, Krishna was living a poor life. But no, he the divine Lord. Nobody understands it. That is why, says human beings, they insult me without knowing my true nature. So here, Duryodhana thought, Sri Krishna is after all a village boy and he is not much educated also. So he is not a city person. He will be mesmerized by the charms of all these maidens. You have to imagine, Duryodhana must have gone with all the Miss Universes gathered to attract Krishna. After all, he heard about Krishna's dalliance with the gopis. So he thought, gopis are village maidens, not only maidens. We should not understand that Sri Krishna was dallying only with unmarried girls. He was also dallying with married women also. But that is the purest love, and if we do not understand, don't even go to read that episode of Rasalila that comes in the 10th chapter, Dashama Skanda of the Bhagavatam. What did Krishna do? Immediately, he said, so my job is not done. I am supposed to bring about peace. And if I accept your hospitality, I may be influenced by you for honoring me so much. But I will accept your invitation after the work is done. My mission is accomplished. And with that, he says goodbye. And immediately he runs to Vidura's house. Poor Vidura was there only. But he did not know. He did not inform him, I am going to your house. But Vidura, one of the greatest devotees of Bhagavan Krishna, knew immediately where Krishna was heading. So he immediately followed Krishna a few minutes later. And what was his great astonishment, Vidura's wife was even greater devotee than Vidura of Bhagavan Krishna. She was not expecting, she was probably aware Krishna was coming, but that he would come to Vidura's house to spend the whole night there. Nobody knew it, neither Vidura nor his wife. So she was overwhelmed, and guests have to be entertained, and they had some banana. What was this mad devotee doing, Vidura's wife? She was peeling the bananas, throwing away the banana fruit, and offering the peelings to Krishna. And Krishna was unaware, because it was offered with such bhakti. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktiya prayachati. Immediately he started swallowing, and Vidura met this sight. She was astonished. He understood. There is a beautiful song composed by one of the greatest saints in Karnataka. Vidurana bhagya vidu, vidurana bhagyavu idu. This is the greatest fortune that can befall any person. And that came to Vidura, referring to this particular incident. Now, Sri Ramakrishna said, Chaitanya used to shed tears of joy at the very mention of Krishna's name. God alone is the real substance. All else is illusory. Now, Sri Ramakrishna was referring to Chaitanya. And about Chaitanya, Sri Ramakrishna used to say, so ever since Chaitanya became, suddenly transformed himself into a devotee of God, devotee of Krishna, he used to be in three states. When he was conscious of the outer world, he will sing and he will dance. When he used to be half conscious, he used to only dance a little, but he was not aware of the external world. Tears of bhakti used to flow like rivers from his eyes. But most of the time, he used to be unconscious. That is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the end of his life, for 18 years, he never left Puri, and he mistook that Puri is Vrindavana, and the sea at the Puri is Yamuna. How many times he lost consciousness jumping into the sea, and every time some fisherman comes and then rescues him. So Chaitanya used to shed tears. What about Sri Ramakrishna? Because it is said, Chaitanya reincarnated himself as Sri Ramakrishna. If we study the teachings of both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Ramakrishna and compare the incidents in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Ramakrishna, we will find many, many similarities. Both were worshippers of Shakti. Both were tremendously devoted to their gurus. Both used to be in the same state. If you open your eyes and read the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, exactly like Chaitanya, many times Sri Ramakrishna used to go into Samadhi. That is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to be unconscious. Many times half aware, vaguely aware of the external world. Sri Ramakrishna, like a mad elephant, used to dance, used to sing. But when he was fully conscious, he used to converse, talk. And that is the result of this Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Why are we studying this one? Not that there is a profound secret and we want to squeeze out that secret. Gospel is none other than Sri Ramakrishna. So if you possess a copy of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, you have possessed Sri Ramakrishna. This is also based upon Sri Ramakrishna's own statement, Bhagavata, Bhakta and Bhagavan. So one day Sri Ramakrishna saw a ray of light coming from the feet of Bhagavan Krishna in the Radha Krishna temple, touching the Bhagavatam, and like a triangle, coming and touching his own heart and going back to the lotus feet of Bhagavan Krishna. Since that time, Sri Ramakrishna coined Bhagavata, Bhakta, Bhagavan. They are one and the same. Where one is present, the other also is present. So as if Sri Ramakrishna is talking to me, to you, every time you open the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, he is talking to you. Incidentally, I remembered just now an incident. Purnachandra Ghosh was one of the six Ishvara Kotis. He was not a monk, but mentally he was more than a monk. There was an incident in his life. Once the circumstances in his life were not very good, he was terribly depressed. He did not feel like living. He wanted to commit suicide. So he said, tomorrow I will get up, read gospel, and then commit suicide. So next morning he got up and then he opened the gospel Katham in Bengali, of course, is Sri Ramakrishna Kathamritam at random and started reading. And the very first thing that his eyes fell upon was the passage. Sri Ramakrishna was deeply concerned about the welfare of Purnachandra Ghosh. This statement is there in the gospel. And then Sri Ramakrishna was answering through that gospel. Why are you so worried? I am thinking about your welfare. It is my duty to look after you. So you just eat, drink, make merry and be happy. Purnachandra Ghosh thought, if Sri Ramakrishna is concerned and looking after me, why should I worry? Let me be a child and enjoy. With that, his resolve to commit suicide had disappeared in a trice. His heart was definitely must have been filled with tremendous, indescribable joy. And that joy can come only through love. Remember always this beautiful psychological fact. Where there is love, joy, concentration, unbroken memory and absolute interest. They are all synonymous words. If anybody says, I love but I am not happy, we have to understand there is really no love. So, why was Purnachandra Ghosh so happy? Because of that love. And these mighty yogis, they just want ananda. Whether he is a jnani or karmi, what do people want? They want ananda. Ananda is another name for God. When a person says, I want to be happy, in other words, he is saying, I want to be God. Or I want to be in the presence of God. The presence of happiness. Even pleasure is nothing but a happiness that we derive in the presence of God. And that object which a person mistakenly thinks will give happiness is the instrument to bring out the presence of God from within himself. So God is the real substance and all else is illusory. What is this illusory? Illusory means it is an instrument. My body is an instrument. My mind is an instrument. Every event that happens in my life is an instrument. If a person gets married, that wife is an instrument. Husband is an instrument. Parents are instruments. Children are instruments. So, if a person is getting joy out of, because of this person's love for any one of them, any friend, any religion, any scripture, any piece of knowledge, then we have to understand that book, that person, that object is merely a mirror reflecting the joy that is within oneself. Since we are not able to see God, that is ananda, within ourselves, we require a mirror. Just like we cannot see our own face, we require a mirror to correct ourselves. The whole world is a mirror. What for? To correct ourselves. So that we can be our own selves. So if somebody is having very, what is called, unhappy face, the mirror reflects it. And nobody wants. If somebody thinks, my hair is not done, my face is not done properly, it must be cleaned up, he takes the help of the mirror. Only you apply it to spiritual life that I need to be corrected. And for correction, this world acts like a very faithful mirror. And that will help us. Happy event, that also is a lesson for us to learn. Unhappy event, another lesson to be learned. Either happy or unhappy, we have to understand that everything in this world is only temporary. Everything is changing. So we cannot expect same thing from the same object all the time. There is no object which is not changing. All that is called, this changeful nature is called mithya. But every mithya has to have an adhisthana, a support, without which it cannot even exist. A reflection cannot exist unless the original object is there. A billion mirrors cannot reflect if the object is not there in front of the mirrors. So like that, the whole world is created. This is what Sri Ramakrishna wants to convey. We have to grow, learning our lessons. So loving people, hating people, dharma, adharma, right and wrong, everything has to teach a lesson. So anybody who wants to progress in spiritual life, the first thing the person has to ask. So I am born. What is the lesson I have to learn? So I am growing up. What is the lesson I have to learn? So I am getting married. What is the lesson I have to learn? So I have quarrel with family members. What is the lesson I have to learn? This very body, which I am feeding, nourishing, is slowly changing, is deserting. The hair will desert us. The teeth will desert us. The skin will desert us. Every part of the body, it gives us up. What is the lesson I have to learn? So who is it that will never change, that will ever be mine? Only one fact, that is God and nothing else. That is the lesson we have to learn. Sri Ramakrishna continues, and this is what is called, God alone is the real substance. All else is illusory. Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. This is the translation by Sri Ramakrishna. God alone is the real substance. All else is illusory. Man can realize God if he wants to, but he madly craves the enjoyment of woman and gold. Sri Ramakrishna immediately gives an illustration. The snake has a precious stone in its head, but is perfectly satisfied to eat a mere frog. It is a belief among many of Indians that some of the cobras, they carry a very precious stone. I don't know whether it is true or not, but what is important is that the snake itself is totally unaware of the stone, much less its preciousness, and it is eating a mere frog, that means a worthless something, and perfectly satisfied. But one thing, perhaps we can interpret it this way, the poison of snake. So if somebody can squeeze a few drops of the venom of a venomous snake, it can save us from certain death if a person is bitten by a particular snake, etc. And in future, how many medicines as a cure for how many diseases can be prepared, God alone knows, out of the venom of this one. So what is the most precious stone? What is more precious than living, than health, than enjoying life, living a long time? So if the venom, which is in the head definitely of many of the snakes, so that is the most precious thing, and medical science has recognized it, and it is trying to, what is called snake farms are there, where regularly this venom is extracted, and it is a big business. Sri Ramakrishna continues, bhakti is the one essential thing. What is the most essential thing in life? Bhakti. That is what Advaita tells us. Acquisition of the knowledge that I am Brahman is the only essential thing in life. This is how Swami Vivekananda had put it. Each soul is potentially divine, and the goal of life is to manifest this potential divinity and it can be realized either through karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, raja yoga, and that alone can make us completely free. This is the whole of religion. Everything else is secondary detail. So this is what Sri Ramakrishna. Bhakti means what? Knowledge of God. Bhakti means love. Love is the outcome of knowledge. Every child loves the mother. Why? Because it knows, I cannot survive without the mother. The child doesn't think so much. It knows instinctively. That is why it cannot bear separation from its mother. And if anybody can realize that God is my mother and I cannot exist separated from my mother. Sri Ramakrishna gives the beautiful example that a child is playing, suddenly he feels hungry and then he says, Ma jabo, I want to go to mother. And nobody can stop the child. The child will not stop crying piteously until the mother comes running and takes it up in her arms and starts suckling him. It is not only the suckling, but the very presence. The child wants to be loved, to be petted, to be kissed by the mother. Without that affection, it is the affection of the mother that is most wanted, not merely the external nourishment called milk. And then Sri Ramakrishna is telling, who can ever know God through reasoning? During our talks on the Upanishads, many times we had the occasion to refer to Shruti Sammata Tarka. So, the first primary authority that Brahman exists, God exists, and the goal of life is Atma Jnana or God realization, to know that I am divine. But the Shruti, to understand the teachings of the scriptures, we require the help of reasoning. What is reasoning? In this case, Sri Ramakrishna tells many times that discrimination is a process whereby we know God alone is permanent, everything is temporary. So, we are trying to find out permanency in temporary things. And it will take some time for us to wake up. But then, at last, by going through terrible hazards, terrible suffering, how many lives? They say, 84 lakh janam, jag ityagi moodhata, anuraga srihare. So, Sri Ramachandra, bhajo. So, worship Sri Ramachandra. This is the truth. But everybody will wake up. There is no doubt. Everybody will feel hungry. That hunger is called spiritual hunger. What is spiritual hunger? I know I am divine. So long I have been asleep to this fact. Now I know for certain. Uttishtata, jagrata, prapyavaran, nibodhata. Approach those who can tell you, guide you, and learn from them. Follow their footsteps and reach what they have reached. And life will be blessed. Ramakrishna is telling, God can never be proved by any amount of reasoning. Who can ever know God through reasoning? I want love of God. What do I care about knowing His infinite glories? One bottle of wine makes me drunk. What do I care about knowing how many gallons there are in the grog shop? One jar of water is enough to quench my thirst. I don't need to know the amount of water there is on earth. Come to think of it, how much of water is there in this world? How many oceans are there? And who needs all that? But if we get sufficient to quench our thirst, and God will give whatever is necessary, unless we throttle our own resources with stupid quarrels, that trying to use water as weapons of war. Since the river is flowing through my country, I will not allow any other country to share with it. And if I have several states, every state is quarreling with the other state, not knowing that if you alone survive, you will not survive for long. The whole country should be looked upon exactly in the same way. How much money, how much environmental pollution we are creating by spending billions and countless billions in what? In developing weapons of destruction. That is not going to help us. If only that money is diverted for the welfare of human beings, everybody will have more than sufficient. Modern science can show us how we can have plenty of food, but at the same time, as Taittiriya Upanishad teaches us, it doesn't mean we splurge ourselves in overeating, creating health problems for ourselves. No, it is not good at all. So, there must be annamna nindya, annamna parichakshita, annam bahu kurvita. So, all these are great teachings. Let us know how to derive, squeeze the highest amount of happiness from ordinary things. That is what Sri Ramakrishna wants to say. But he is not telling that reasoning should not be used. First, faith in the scriptures. To understand the scriptures properly, use the aid of reasoning. Let me give you a small example. There are some religions, whatever is written in the book, even if it is interpolation by somebody else, that is taken as gospel truth, word of God, and then hatred. Anybody who doesn't believe in our scripture, in our religion, they will go to the direst of the hells. Should they not have this kind of buddhi, intelligence? We don't care whether a person believes in religion, believes in a scripture. What is necessary is what type of life you are living. Is it something where you are growing by becoming less selfish, becoming more unselfish, caring and sharing with others whatever you have, not contemplating any harm to anybody? In other words, develop a noble character, become a gentleman, and that is most important than anything else. This is what Sri Ramakrishna is telling. What do I care about knowing his infinite glories? One bottle of wine makes me drunk. A little bit of love of God can make me a happier person. What do I care to know? How many scriptures are there? How many religions are there? How many pathways are there? Let us not be trying to obtain PhD by studying various religions and trying to do something about it. One jar of water is enough to quench my thirst. One mantra from my guru, Sadguru, is more than enough. I don't need to know anything else. Blessed I will become. This is what Sri Ramakrishna is trying to tell. And after this, he left, Sri Ramakrishna left Manomohan's house, and then it must be nearby house, he arrived at Surendra's house. Sri Ramakrishna arrived at Surendra's house, and many devotees has assembled there, including Surendra's elder brother, who was a judge. But the master is telling something which teaches us a great lesson for all of us. Sri Ramakrishna, addressing this judge, Surendra's brother, Ramakrishna is uttering, "You are a judge, that's very good. But remember, everything happens through God's power. You are the president of your nation, very good. But remember, that's very good. But remember, everything happens through God's power. It is God's power which made you the president, the vice president, the prime minister, the minister, the MP, the MLA, anything. It is he who has given you your high position. That is how you became a judge. People think it is they who are great. We obtained this through our cleverness, through our effort, and I am responsible for what I got." No, Sri Ramakrishna gives a beautiful simile. The water from the roof flows through a spout that is shaped like a lion's head. It looks as if the lion were bringing the water out through its mouth. But look at the source of the water. A cloud gathers in the sky and rain falls on the roof. Then the water flows through the pipe and at last comes out through the spout. So everything is given by God. That is the message of Sri Ramakrishna, and it has wonderful implications. We will further enjoy this talk in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.